Blog Talk Radio.
Well, everyone, it's Wednesday night, and I really feel so good that we are back together again. And I just want to tell each and every one of you how grateful and honored I am for all of the prayers and the words of encouragement that you guys gave me in my time of bereavement and in my time of illness. And I just want to say thank you. You know, sometimes when you're going through so much, you know, you just don't feel like praying, you know, and it seems strange. You know, I don't know about anybody else, but that's what happens with me sometimes. But I was so glad that I had so many people praying for me. And I just want you to know that your prayers wasn't in vain. And I want you to know that God is grateful that you decided to hold me up, because that's what we as brothers and sisters are supposed to do. And I am grateful and I'm honored. And I want to tell you guys, you know, I'm so glad to be in the family of the Wednesday Night Bible Study. You know, we're going to go ahead and get with the lesson, but we have to go to prayer. And if someone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. And if not, I'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll go into the lesson and I'll play a song. So if anybody would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic for you to pray. And again, it's so good to be back. As we bring this lesson forward, I hope that you pray for our lesson tonight. Pray that it goes forward and that the Holy Spirit will give those who's looking for illumination and revelation. You know, we have to hold on to the Word of God. We come and we listen and we hear it, and we have to put it into practice. And we have to hold on to it. That's why the Bible says you have to hold on to the confession of your faith. Sometime when things are going wrong and upside down and topsy-turvy, you have nothing but the Word of God to bring you through. The Word of God is your lifeline in the midst of a storm. You know, the Word of God is the thing that put you back in a boat when you done tumbled out of it. You know, the Word of God is what's going to give you that peace and that strength as you go through trying to get to what you need to. It's the Word of God that'll build you up, turn you around, place your feet on solid ground. It's the Word of God. So don't just take the Word of God in your ears. Put it, let it go down in your heart. Meditate on it day and night and use it for your life journey. And I guarantee you success. But let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, precious God, Lord, here we are once more and again. Lord, we missed two Wednesday night, but you saw fit that we back together tonight. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you give us power tonight, dear God, as I decrease, that you increase and give your people a word from high. Open up their ears, dear God, so they can receive what the lesson is saying. Let it penetrate in their hearts so that they may do what the lesson has designed for all of us to do. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of us brothers and sisters that called in on the line and have been praying in the gap for me and my bereavement and my illness. Lord, their word didn't go void because you still have me standing, and I say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for your mercy and your grace. You see, I know it's mercy was carrying me right now, because mercy is what withhold the evil that I deserve. Because, you know, it's not that I'm so good, dear God, but that you're so faithful. Thank you for your grace giving me what I don't deserve. Hallelujah. Thank you, dear God. Thank you for your darling son, and thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your holy word, dear God. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for your anointing, your appointing. Thank you for your favor. Thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name. Bless everyone that's calling in, dear God. Lord, some may be in the need of this and some may be in the need of something else, but you know. Supply their needs according to your riches and glory. Heavenly Father, we're going to be ever so careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And hallelujah. For those who have your Bibles, you could turn to the book of James. We're going to be coming from the book of James, the 4th chapter, the 13th through the 17th verse. James, the 4th chapter, the 13th through the 17th verse. And the title of this study is, God has the whole world in his hand. God has the whole world in his hand. You know, as you look at this title tonight that says God has the whole world in his hand, he have your good, your bad, your ugly. It has, you know, the danger, and it has, he has the sorrow, and he has everything in your hand. And as we get in a lesson tonight, you know, we're going to see that, you know, we shouldn't set our sights just on things here and now, which are all temporal. But we should set our sights on high. Because, you know, God said there's no sorrow on earth that heaven cannot heal. And I'm going to play a song right now. And then once we get through with the song, we're going to go ahead into the lesson.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
You don't know my story.
You don't know
the
my
things.
You don't know the things that I come through.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
At my lowest.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
The strongholds and the walls that you
share. But God has been faithful.
Oh, God has been faithful to me.
He promised.
I'm life and favor. Thank you for bringing me out. You think you know, but let me tell it.
Life and favor.
God, thank you for your mercy.
God of mercy.
And you love me. Life and favor.
Life and favor. Upon me.
Oh, how wondrous. God is my story.
Life and favor. Upon me.
You wouldn't believe my real testimony. Can't imagine. Some people, they walked out on me. And they gave up on me. Said I wouldn't make it. But God brought me out.
All the things I've done.
If you only knew, you'd understand why I praise like this. Come on, can we take it up?
Everybody has a story, and we have to be conscious of one another. You know, sometimes people may be acting a certain way, and it's not because they're angry or mad at you, but they're going through. This world is full of trials and tribulation, and the devil is busy. He's at hand. He's doing what he, you know, sets out to do, and he's, you know, his time is short, you know, and he's pumping up the volume, and it's just turmoil. But if we have God, we can make it through. For those who just called in, the lesson is coming from James, the 4th chapter, the 13th through the 17th verse. And the title of the lesson is God Has the Whole World in His Hand. As always, I'm going to give you just a little background on James because we have talked about him so much. But James was the son of Mary and Joseph, and that's what made him the half-brother of Jesus, because God was Jesus' biological father. James is the author of the Epistle James, which he wrote somewhere between A.D. 50 and A.D. 60. Now, why I'm giving you dates tonight, it's easy to remember. If Jesus Christ was born, and that's when the beginning of A.D. started. Of course, B.C. was before Christ. And Jesus Christ died at the age of 33. He started his ministry at 30. He died at 33. So if James wrote this book between 50 and 60, I'm just giving you the time frame when he wrote this book, you know, after Jesus' death. And why I'm giving the dates as much for James, because before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, James did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And at the resurrection, he believed. So here we see 33 from 50, whatever, so many years after he wrote the Epistle of James. You see, this letter deals with more of Christian ethics than Christian theology. Its theme is the outworking of faith and the internal evidence of your faith. What that's saying, you know, James is the one say, you know, show me your works and I can see your faith. James also say faith without works is dead. He's telling you if you have that faith, it should be evidence. You know. And at his conversion give us testimony of the overwhelming power that came from being a witness of Jesus' resurrection. James turned from being a skeptic to a leader in the church based on his meeting the resurrected Christ. There's power in the name of Jesus. And if we go to the scriptures, James 4, 13 and 14, it say, go to now ye that say tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is this life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and vanish. What this scripture is saying. You know, to God, our life, no matter if we live to be 104, is just a vapor. The Bible says that a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is with God. God is telling us that we are only pilgrims passing through this land. This is not our home. Our home and destiny is eternal life. And we have to set our focus and get it right and put our priorities in place and keep our sights pressing towards the mark of the high call. Because, you see, if we don't watch it, we put all into this, and this is all we could get in the end. You know, just this stuff and all, it's not gonna help us to get through. So they say, it is even a vapor that appeared for a little while and vanished. You see, it's good to have goals. But goals can and sometime will disappoint us if we leave God out of our planning. There is no point in making plans as though God does not exist because the future is in his hand. Our right now is in his hand, and the future is in his hand. To live without motives or planning is not God's desire for our lives. Making plans are not out of the will of God. But if you do it out of the will of God, it will not produce the end results that you may be looking for. You see, God has a plan for our lives, and it was designed before the foundation of the world. You say, well, then how you know that? Because in the word of God, if I go back to the Old Testament and you know, the prophets of God is when God gave him a message for the people, and somewhere in Jeremiah in the 29th verse, God told Jeremiah to tell a people, 29th chapter and 11th verse, he said, tell them, I know the plans that I think towards them, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give them an expected end. God was saying, hold on, I got everything under control, and I have an expected end for each and every one of you. Your expected end is not going to be my expected end. But God has expected in mind for each and every one of us. You see, God has an expected end in mind and an intended purpose for all of us. The Bible teaches against two extremes. Someone who will never set goal, which is slothful, or others who set goals with no thought of God in mind. You got to remember, nothing can or will happen unless God allow or produce it. Nothing. God is in total control. Nothing happened unless he allow it, orchestrate it, or let it happen. Nothing. You see, we should line our goals up with the will of God, which is the word of God, and you will never fail. You see, God has created our existence before the foundation of the world, and we must make our plans loosely and allow God's wills to be done. You know, it's good to make up plans, but when you see the hand of God working in it and you wanted to go right and he going left and you could see God in it, go left. It's okay. We must always remember that God is in control. You should always say, if it's God's will do this or that. If you look around in this world today, someone is here today and gone today. You know, we used to say here today and gone tomorrow. No, here today and gone today. Hallelujah. Plans are made and many times change. Y'all have to keep that in mind, because if you think you make a plan and it's changing, now you can't control it and you all puffed up and mad and stuff like that, you're going to just be a miserable person. Because plans can be made, but many times they'll be changed. If we take a look at our lives where we are today, and we might believe that it's not our intentions or how where we are and how we wanted it to be. You know, to some of us, we're in a better place than we thought we would be in, and then others, it's not where we want to be. You know, some are better and some are worse, which lets us know that we are not in control. Trust God, because trusting God is saying that God knows best. God's way is the best way. If you understand it, then you could begin to enjoy it and rest. Some people have no rest because they're not leaning and dependent on the word of God. They're dependent on their own strength and their might. But God is in control, and he has the whole world in his hand. Look like you need to get connected to him. You know, let's look at some of the scriptures on how we should plan. There's a scripture in Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33-34. This scripture lets us know how we should plan. The scripture says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day of evil thereof." And it goes on to say, tomorrow will have its own problems. Be blessed in your today. Now, that's good. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Seek the things of God and let God bless you. But you can't be blessed without the things of God. And Philippians 4:6 says, let us know when and how we should plan. And it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. That's just some scriptures if you believe it. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer. So what that's saying, always be prayerful with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. And God's going to work it out. God is always doing his part. It's up to you to do yours. You see, all of us are appointed to die. We don't know when and we don't know how. But for those who may not know, but we do know why. You see, when sin entered the world in the perfect Garden of Eden, man had to die a physical death to receive eternal life. hope you got that. When Adam and Eve sinned, which brought death into the world, and God had a master plan, and he sent his son to take away the sin so we could receive eternal life. But because of the sin nature that we inherited from Adam, we have to die to receive eternal life. Everyone wants to go to heaven, but no one is ready to die. The scripture says, the scripture used the word vapor. You see, a vapor in a Western dictionary as something that is very short-lived. God's time is not equated on our time. No matter how long we live, it's enough. People who live a short life, it's enough. People who live a very long life, it's enough. You know, why some long and some short? Because that's the way God planned it. But no matter how long you live, it's enough, because God is a God of enoughness. Hallelujah. We all want what we want, but God knows what's best. So just trust him. If we put all our concentration and efforts on this life, which is short-lived, the things that the world can give us, which is only temporal, we will miss God's best for us. Abundant living here on earth, and then we still die. John 10:10 says, the devil is out and he's ready. He's doing everything. And this scripture said in John 10:10, he had the devil just right. He said he's a thief and he comes but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But it backed up with what Jesus said, but I come to give life that you may have it more abundantly. You have to choose this day what you want. You want the things of the world or you want the things of God? You see, life is shorter than you think, no matter how long we live. Be not deceived into thinking that we have a lot of time remaining to live for Christ, to enjoy our loved ones, hallelujah, amend broken hearts, or to do what we know we should do, live for God today. You see, tomorrow is not promised to anyone. And if we understand God's plan for our lives, no matter when our lives end, we would have fulfilled God's plan for our life and our living wouldn't be in vain. And you always got to remember that only what you do for Christ is going to last. When you out here in this world and you get a lot of money, I'm just being hypothetical, in the big house on the hill, when you die, that's going to be left behind. You ain't going to have nothing to do with it. But when Jesus comes back with the judgment, everything on this earth is going to be burnt away. That's how the new heavens and the new earth is going to be created. So it's all going to pass away eventually. And when you die, whatever you achieve on this earth, you know, you can't bring it with you. And it's not bad to achieve. God wants his children with everything. But it's what attitude you have towards it and how you treat it. You know, if you're going to treat it and go after it more than you're going after God, then you got a problem. But there's nothing wrong with heaven. It's just what you do to get it sometimes. Like they say, money, the root of all evil. You know, it's nothing wrong with having money, but if you're going to steal on somebody back, cheat somebody else, short somebody else, you know, work 24 hours a day and neglect your family or whatever, those kind of things, he said, then it's not worth it. Then it's not worth it. And then James 4:15 say that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting, and all rejoicing is evil. There to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him is sin. What is this saying? This is saying we are not afforded the privilege of speaking as if we have the power over our lives. Remember, we are here today and could be gone today. We should always remember that God is in control and his will shall be done. And I'm going to tell y'all something else. Y'all can, you know, you can do it the way you want. You can do whatever you want, but God's will is still going to be done with you or without you. We should say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this and do that. You see, all boasting is evil. I got this going on. I did this. I made this. I'm. You know, that boasting. Because if God don't give you breath, you can't do it. So how could you leave him out of the puzzle? How could he not be a part of the program? Boasting makes it seem like you think you're in control. The scripture says that if you are boasting, it is all about your doing, and God has nothing to do with it. God has something to do, something for all of us to do, and we should plan accordingly. Some people don't read or study the Word of God and will never understand the will of God for their lives. They think the way that they're doing things is okay. But that's their perception. And yes, it has become their reality. But it is, if it don't line up with the Word of God, it's not the truth. It's not the truth. You know, Timothy said we got to study to show ourselves approved. And Matthew 6:27 said, be anxious for nothing, say you, and of you which being anxious, look what it say, you cannot add a single hour to the span of your life. We tend to think that only doing wrong is sin. But you see, this is the way James liked to teach. James lets us know that sin is also not doing what is right. I hope you got it. We tend to think that only doing wrong is sin, but James lets us know that sin is also not doing which is right. There's two types of kinds of sin that are sometimes called. One of them, they say, the sin of commission, which is the act of doing wrong, and the sin of omission, which is to know to do good and don't do it. It's a sin to lie, but it's also a sin not to tell a truth when it is necessary. You see, some people have made up in their minds that they are not ready to follow Christ all the way. So they don't want to hear what he says about some subjects that they are not ready to give up. They believe that if they don't know, they can't be held accountable. Some people will not go to hell for what they did, but what they didn't do. I know a lot of good people that don't believe that Christ is the Savior. And they have morals and have ethics, but they're atheists, you know. But they do things right. They just got right in them. They ain't going to go to hell for what they did. They're going to go to hell for what they didn't do by not accepting Christ as their Savior. And they won't receive the gift of salvation. You know, James is letting you know, when you hear the Word of God, it's better. You know, they got a scripture in 2 Peter 2:21. They say, it has been better for them not to know the way to righteousness than after knowing it to turn from the holy command delivered unto them. We as Christians must take our rightful place. There are many things that we could do that are just the right things to do, and every day we turn our backs. Someone may be in need, and you could have helped, but you didn't. That's a sin. Remember, we are only stewards, and everything that we have belongs to God in the first place. And if God has given you much, he requires much of you. Someone could need a word of encouragement, and you could have gave it, but you won't. And you say, I don't have time for that. That's sin. I just want to get involved. I just don't want to get involved in all of that. Oh, I don't like all of that holy stuff. I don't know what they're going to say. You know, I don't want them to hurt my feelings. You see, and someone may need a word from God, and you know it, but you don't share it. And I'm letting you know tonight that's sin. The Holy Spirit is constantly doing his job by guiding us in the things of God. We should be willing to help others as the Holy Spirit leads us. You know when something the Holy Ghost tell you, go and do this or go do that or say that or give that. You know. Don't allow the trick of the devil to fool you into thinking that it is not necessary or that it's someone else's responsibility. God wants to use each of his creation for his will and his glory. That's why we were created in the first place, to give God glory and become a living sacrifice. God is waiting to see your work. He's waiting to see you work your faith. James also said, faith without works is dead. We know that works can't save us. So I'm not saying go out here and do the work to save you. We know that the works can't save you. But once we are saved, we should want to work. And as I close, if I could see your faith, I can be able to see your works. You don't have to go around boasting your works. Because you see, if they see your works, they know your faith. If they know your faith, they should see some works. This life is not as long as it may seem. It's only a vapor in the eyes of God. But he has given each one of us enough time to accomplish our purpose for his glory. You know, in the morning when you get up and, you know, and pray, I ask God, God, give me the opportunity, you know, create the opportunity for me to be able to share a word of God with somebody, or a word of encouragement. You know, you should want to be used by God every day. And you could go to him with that, and he'll make it possible. Ask him to give you the opportunity, you know, create the opportunity for you to share with somebody. You know, you might have some extra money, and you might want to say, God, lead me to who I should, you know, share this with. You know, so you become the giver that he wants you to be. You see, every day counts. You should make every day count that your living will not be in vain. You see, we begin life with a date of birth, and our life in with a date of death. And there's a dash in the middle. And I'm going to leave you with, what will your dash say about you? That's our lesson for tonight. I pray that someone was encouraged. I pray that it was a word that they needed. That's our word for tonight. And at this time, if anyone would like to make a comment or give words of encouragement, you could press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic. If anyone like to make comments, pray. I'll open up the mic for you. Well, since no one want to make any comments, what I'm going to do is go ahead on and give a benediction prayer, because I don't like people to hang up before the prayer, because there's blessings in a benediction. So what I'm going to do is I'm say the prayer. And after the prayer, I'll play some music. And if someone decide they want to say something at that time, they can still press the one button. Let us go to the throne of grace. Oh, I have a caller. Caller, your number is 504-729. Your mic is open.
Hi, I just want to say hello to everybody. I hope everybody's having a blessed evening. And I just want to let you know that the word definitely encouraged me. I come to Bible study on Monday night, and you know, we've missed it the past couple of weeks, but we do understand that there's just been a lot of things that's been going on in your life with your health and family members and things like that. And I want you to know that God's word always encourages me. I always want to listen to you when you're teaching it, because I know that I'm going to take away something very practical from my life. But I also want you to know that your life is like strength to me. It gives me, it encourages me. I draw strength from the things that I see you go through and the way you handle it and the way you trust God no matter what the situation is. And I think the past couple of weeks, everybody that attends a Monday night Bible study or sits on this call on Wednesday night, they can not only see you talk that talk, but you've walked that walk. I know that personally from these couple of weeks and these experiences and these things, that tragic loss that you've experienced with your siblings and, you know, your adopted son and just your health and surgery and things like that. I don't know. I mean, it leaves me speechless, but at the same time, it encourages me, because I feel like if I'm having a frustrating day at work and something may not be going right in my department, it just pales in comparison to watch somebody walk that walk and not only teach me for 2 years in Bible study, but they live it. They live what they teach. And so I want you to know that God's word always encourages me, gives me strength, and it definitely keeps me pressing forward. But to see you live what you teach is like that living testimony that you're supposed to see in Christians. And I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for being that example to me. And this is Rian, and I want you to know that I love you, and I'm praying for you and your family.
Thank you so much, Rian, and I love you too. You know, every time when I'm going through things and you know, maybe feel like, wow, give up, you know, the scriptures come. You know, the scriptures say that God will, nothing that can happen to me has not already been happened to someone else. And then the scripture goes on to say that God will never allow you to be tempted more than you could bear. And you see, most of us crack up and crack and give in before we even finish the bearing. You don't know how much you could bear, but God does. And another thing that I say, and I, you know, I say, I got too much word to crash. You know, that's when you hold on to your word. And, you know, the word of God is what's got to bring us through, because, you know, in a given example, when Jesus, after Jesus had been baptized he went and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan came to him because he knew he was at his weakest point. And Satan told him that what he could give him, and you know, first he offered him, you know, what he could give him, this land and that land, and he could give him this, and he could, you know, give him some food, because of course, you know, he was hungry. And Jesus just used the word. He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." We have to take the word of God and apply it to our situation, our adversities, our trials, and our tribulation, and that's what get us from point A to point B. And that's why God tells us it's so important to study the word, because when you're in a need, the Holy Ghost is going to bring it up to your memory. And you put the word of God on a situation or the person or whatever, and he's gonna get you to the next level. And that's so awesome with the word. It's real, it's living, it's true, and it's work. And And I just want to say thank you again, Ryan, and I love you as well. If the Lord say the same, like this lesson tonight says, stop talking about what you're going to do. But if the Lord say the same, we'll be back on Monday. I have another caller calling. Your number is 504. Your number is 504. 460. You may speak. Your mic is open.
Good afternoon. I want to say hello to everyone and to you, Miss Diane. This is Lynn. I'm sorry I missed the beginning of the lesson, and I know I missed a treat, but I just wanted you to know that I, as well, I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for your family, and I just have to amen everything Ryan has already said. I draw so much strength in just watching you, just how excellence isn't just what you teach, but you walk in it, and you're just a true woman of God, and I just bless God for the day that our paths were allowed to cross, and if the Lord say the same, I will be back on Monday night.
Thank you so much, Lynn. Thank you for the words of encouragement, and if, like I said, the Lord said the same, we'll be back on Monday night. And thank you so much for the encouragement. We all have to remember, everybody need to be encouraged sometime. Encouragement is good for the soul. And I thank you for the encouragement. Anyone else would like to have anything to say at this time? Anyone would like to pray at this time? Well, if not, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, I enter your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Lord, I'm just grateful, and I'm thankful that I'm back again on Wednesday night. Yes, Satan told me not tonight, take another break. But I had to get back to my ministry and do the things that God has assigned and put in my hand. I thank you, dear God, for allowing the people that can call in to get the word, dear God. And I thank you for the words of encouragement. Lord, I thank you for your son, and I thank you for your spirit. Lord, I pray that everyone called in that will receive a blessing from on high. Some may need this and others may need that, but I know you know, dear God, and I'm asking you to find favor on their lives. Help us. Guide us, protect us, dear God. Let us know the word, dear God. Let us show the word of God. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others, I ask in your darling son Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God. Well, that's our lesson for tonight. And some people like to hear a song. But I know some have to hang up because of your schedule. And while a song is playing, if someone want to speak, I could see and I could open your mic. But after the song, we'll go ahead and close the program off for tonight. Everybody be blessed. And I love you like God loves you. And there's nothing you could do about it. We'll be right back. that's the plan. You got to just believe it and trust it. But that's the Inner Bowel Show for tonight, and I pray that everyone was blessed. And I hope you could use this word as you go on through the week. And remember, God has a master plan. He has the whole world in his hand. And he's waiting to do everything you need him to do. But you got to trust him and depend on him. Well, that's our program for tonight. I pray that everyone is blessed. And if the Lord say the same, we'll be back on next Wednesday. Again, thank each and every one of you for your prayers and support. I love you even more for that. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.